Marvel Cinematic Rewind, the podcast that rewatches, reviews, and responds to every movie, show, and one-shot in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Al Rodriguez.
I'm Tony Camarena.
And I'm Alicia Thayer. And today we're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 16, Afterlife, which originally premiered on April 7th, 2015.
And as always, here's our IMDb summary. As Robert Gonzalez makes his move, Coulson must do whatever it takes to protect the future of S.H.I.E.L.D. Meanwhile, Skye's journey to control her powers takes a surprising turn when she meets the enigmatic Inhuman named Lincoln. Dun dun dun. It wasn't that dramatic.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
All right. And as we've been doing, we split this up into 73 different storylines. I'm only going to focus on four of them. But just so you guys know, we're not covering 68% of this. It doesn't even make sense. It's not percentage. All right. So in storyline A, we're going to follow Skye. And she wakes up to this crazy weird acupuncture.
Right.
Happening all over her stomach. Yeah.
And all of her arms clothes. And legs.
Yeah.
She's got coverings.
It's okay. When she was undressed, Gordon had his eyes closed the whole time. So. Gordon's there, still having his eyes closed, just. So is this guy we mentioned in the IMDb summary, Lincoln. Yeah, I've never understood, and I can't remember if they ever say, if Lincoln is his first name or his last name.
Good question. Don't know.
Yeah, Al, do you remember from the future?
I don't remember. Honestly, I think I've always assumed it was his first name.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. I think I just always assumed, yeah.
Then in that case, Lincoln's a weird first name. Just saying.
It is, but it is really cool to drive those cars now. Not like it used to be really cool. Like,
is it?
When Matthew McConaughey drove them.
Is it because of this guy?
Yeah, that's probably cool. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair.
I spent like 5 minutes trying to make that a joke in my head. It went nowhere. So, you can edit that one out, Tony. I know you never edit those jokes out, but you can if you want. Feel free.
Yeah. Although the listeners now know that our last episode did not end with a huge laugh from Al because I edited that episode out. Or that joke out. And Al just quit the podcast, so. No.
Never rage quit before, but you know what? I'm done.
Back to this, we find out that Skye's been there for 2 days. And Lincoln is there as her transitioner, you know, the really original name for someone who transitions her to a new inhuman state. Yeah. And then we get the introduction to where she is, her welcome to afterlife, because she's probably dead. We all know it.
You know, that would make a cool title for some other TV show. Like, maybe even centered around here. But I just thought, like, after hearing that name or the title after that, it's like, oh, that could be a cool show. One that might at least get to finish its first season, but I don't imagine it going a second season.
Probably not. Yeah. Although, to be fair, the other Inhuman show, Inhumans, did finish its season. And it shouldn't have.
That's true. But it also was, what, only 8 episodes or something like that?
Yeah, but you know there are lots of shows that last less than that.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Anyway, Alicia, did you have something about Afterlife before I go into my long...
It's so pretty! It's so pretty! I was like, I want to be up there. And it's not cold, apparently, up there, which surprises me immensely. I want to live up there. If it's that pretty and it's not cold, they can wander around and what they're wandering around. I want to live up there.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's obviously in the same neighborhood, as I talked last time, as Kamar-Taj and Kunlun, you know, mountains of Asia.
Right.
But that we don't know where it is. It's probably next to each other. Lincoln says that it's called Lai Shi, which, according to Google, Lai Shi actually means next life in Chinese.
Oh. Mandarin.
Yeah. So, we get a little, like, backstory about how they get in and out. Is Gordon's the only way in and out, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, assuming Gordon is 40, I mean, just looking at him, probably in his 40s, mm-hmm. and he was a teenager when he got his powers, has this place only been up and running for like 30 years?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Now that we got a firm answer to that.
You know, that's a good question. Maybe this location has only been up and running for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. That's true. After the Whitehall incident, I would say so, probably, to protect the others.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That happened mm-hmm. in the 80s, right?
Yep.
I did not put that together.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it actually does kind of fit in with a few other things. I don't want to ruin this. It might be a little spoilery, so I'm not going to mention it, but it actually would explain why he gets his powers right after that incident, or not too far along after that incident.
Oh, yeah. I'm acting like I know what you're talking about, but I really don't remember. So. Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a big thing, but I just don't want to throw spoilers, right?
Yeah.
For, you know, the many, many listeners out there who have yet to watch the other episodes yet.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We've got a little bit of, like, people throwing shade at Sky because she's the first person, like, 1,000 years who was not chosen by their ceremonial chosen people.
Right.
Yeah. And Lincoln says something that he says a lot in this episode. Just like, well, I thought you knew, or did Gordon not tell you?
Right.
I'm just like, Gordon teleports literally instantly. There's not a lot of time to talk on the trip.
Yeah, that's a good
just
point.
Assume she knows nothing, because she doesn't.
I mean, he did have a little bit of that, like, intro in last week's episode, right? Because he did give that little explanation to Sky around how her powers work. But mm-hmm. other than that, like, he said nothing. And I feel like he said even less to Reyna when he took her, like, a couple weeks before.
Right?
Yeah,
he just took
That's
her.
That's true. Well, yeah, but Reyna was in, like, a serious situation that they need to get out of there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But but the thing is that Sky's been there for 2 days unconscious. Gordon could have filled Lincoln in a little bit. I mean, come on, a little bit. she sees another one of the transition cabins, and Lincoln straight up tells her that no one's living there. It's empty.
They don't use it anymore.
They don't use it anymore, and there's no one there who would want to hurt you. Which is complete BS. Yeah. And then Lincoln goes on and shows her to her new room. And Sky mentions that this is her fourth new room in like the course of a week since she got her powers. Yeah. Which we were having a discussion a few episodes back about how much time has passed. Well, the last 6 episodes since the mid-season finale or premiere have been within the course of 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in that case, the whole series has been like 2 months. But I don't think that tracks.
No.
Yeah. And then they talk a little bit about the Simmons gloves that she gave her. and talking about how it actually slowed her control of her powers and slowed the transformation.
Yes. Which is why she was out for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he lets her know that the powers are permanent and you can never, ever, ever get rid of them. Yeah. And he goes, "Sorry, I thought you knew." I was like, "God damn it,
Lincoln. Why would she know that?" Right? It's like, how would I know that? That just
yeah. Yeah. You're like, you know, I'm the first person who doesn't know anything about this in 1,000 years.
Right?
Which means I don't know anything about this.
So, what do they know about her? Right? Because they know, obviously, that she got her powers.
They don't know jack shit. Old-fashioned way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, a little bit.
And that's pretty much it, right? I mean, I guess Gordon maybe knows about her powers if he can see. We're really unclear on that. But yeah. The reason I bring this up is, like you said, Lincoln keeps assuming things that mm-hmm. other people would know. But, mm-hmm. like, what do they, or how do they think she actually went about going getting her powers? Like, do they think she did it on purpose? Like, she just went and was like, "Oh, this sounds like a good idea. I'm going to get powers today. Waha."
Right. Or,
I mean, do you think they did have at least a little bit of information from Reyna? Reyna was there. Maybe Cal, but Cal's not really, seems to be in a talking mood.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got other people who are involved.
I cannot wait to talk about that part.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot somebody.
But how open is this society? Like, is this one of those things where everyone, like, the information is shared and everyone knows, like, there's no secrets? Or is this one of those, like, and the elders know everything and then they tell everyone what you know, they want them to know, right? Or what can be let out?
I feel like option B. Because I've never run into a TV show where they come into a magical place where everybody just gets to know everything at all times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm just trying to figure out like what they think about this and why they even know that there's this one. Or I guess maybe that's one of those things they kind of had to know. Because mm-hmm. it would probably be big news in their community, like, "Oh, hey, so and so is gonna go get powers tomorrow. Woohoo, let's go. Yeah. We're gonna have a party, we'll drink a lot, and we'll have pizza. Gordon's gonna bring a bunch of pizza, that'll be fun."
Yep. Gordon bringing pizza is the best part of there.
Yeah, apparently.
I hope Sky gets some.
And then all of a sudden, you know, this whole thing. So, okay, so I guess that's probably the limit of what everyone's knowledge is.
Mm hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and Lincoln knows less because he doesn't pay attention. But yeah. Anyway, Lincoln brings her to the edge of a mountain, so probably so Sky doesn't kill everybody, so Sky can show him his powers, her powers. Yeah. So she gets to find out that Lincoln has Pikachu powers. He's electric. And he's got red cheeks, and you touch him, you get electrocuted, I think. I didn't see that part.
Pikachu?
Pikachu and Lincoln.
Pikachu? Never mind.
Yes?
Never mind.
Like, were you just talking like Pikachu?
No, I can do that, but I don't really want to embarrass myself any more on this podcast than I absolutely need to.
I feel like it's a requirement right now.
Do I need to?
Yep.
Pikachu!
Beautiful. Wonderful.
You're welcome. Thank you for making me embarrass myself on this. Thanks. That's what I need.
Anytime and every time.
You know, I was so infatuated with Pokemon as a kid. Not that I'm still not, but I literally spent so much time imitating the voices they had. For different ones, not just Pikachu.
I feel like we have a Pokemon special coming up.
Oh, geez.
Where Alicia will just tell us her Pokemon impressions.
I'll just go through the Pokemon impressions. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yep. I feel like that's going to be our top rated episode. Anyway.
You know, it might as well be. Yep. It'll be sad too.
Lincoln uses his Pikachu powers to make Sky fly. Sky high. Fly.
Yep. Yep. Saw where that was going.
Yep. And then it says that he was lost before coming to Afterlife, trying to sell Afterlife to Sky. But how was he lost if he was one of the people who was there waiting years to get his powers? It's not like he randomly got his powers.
Was he waiting years? Because he said that it's more like a way station, right? People are only there for, like, a small amount of time.
Well, yeah, but maybe he wasn't there. But he was waiting. He knew about Inhumanity, I guess. And he, like, he had been waiting. Like, because Sky said she jumped the line. So everyone there is waiting for them to get their powers. Was he just like, is that the reason he wanted his powers? Is because he didn't know what to do with his life?
Maybe.
Maybe.
He learned to control this force that binds everything together. And then.
Oh, he's a Sith. He's got electric powers.
Oh, Jesus.
He's evil. He's like the evil Pikachu that Mewtwo made in the movie. Okay.
It wasn't anyway. Evil. It was a clone.
I have not seen that movie since 2002.
Oh. So. I just remember the scene where the original Pikachu refused to fight, and so the clone Pikachu just kept slapping it.
Yeah, that's the scene I was looking at. He must be evil because he keeps slapping Pikachu.
Well, he was under orders from Mewtwo.
Mm. Likely story.
It was.
Sounds like a Loki situation here. Oh. Anyway.
You know, it's really bad. I have three siblings, but only one of them I'm super close. Like, was kind of super close to. Mm-hmm. And I have legit more than once sent him that stupid song that's playing during that scene. It's called Brother, My Brother. I have more than once sent him that stupid song, being like, brother.
I had the CD, the soundtrack of Pokemon, the first movie.
I have.
Well, I know, so I was saying, I know the music more than I know the actual movie.
Yeah. I have that one, the second one, and the third one. I don't know that I have any of the others after that, but I have the first three movie soundtracks.
Cool. Yep. Yep.
I keep all my CDs. I have them all the way back from a child. This is not just I kept the Pokemon CDs. I have all my CDs still.
Yeah, I transferred all my CDs onto a hard drive back, like, the first time I had a hard drive big enough to do it.
I did that too, but I just can't bear to get rid of the CDs.
And then I got rid of the CDs, and then the hard drive stopped working, so I lost all my music from my childhood.
Whoops.
Yep.
Hence now the not better. Getting rid of the CDs.
Yeah. I don't think I own a CD in the house.
Mm.
But anyway, now that we're way off topic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sky actually never shows him his powers. Her powers right now.
Mm-hmm.
They go for another walk, and she wants to send a message through Gordon to, like, the Shieldies. And she gets the worst news ever, that there will be no pizza tonight. And also, he won't deliver the message.
Right.
But more importantly, there's no pizza tonight. So Sky needs to leave immediately, because she's been scammed.
Yeah, it's kind of a Hydra situation going on, right? Because Hydra doesn't like tacos. And Afterlife promises pizza but doesn't deliver. Like, this no.
It's looking shady. Mm-hmm. We knew it was too good to be true. So they do have dinner of popcorn.
Right? That's very nutritious.
Hey, it's better than kale. So there's no pizza and they mostly eat kale. This Afterlife is worse than hell.
But it's pretty.
It is pretty.
So not worth it.
Nope. And Lincoln has never truly lived because he's never tried to heat up food with his powers. Which,
how would you not try? Right?
Yeah. At least popcorn. That would be at least impressive. And stupid Lincoln is stupid because he lets it slip that Reyna's in Afterlife.
Right.
And Sky loses her shit and rumbles everything, the entire city. Yeah. And then we get to see Porcupine Reyna again. Yay. Or boo, however you feel about Reyna. Yeah. She tries to get Sky to kill her, and she's stopped by Jiaying, this mysterious leader of Afterlife, who we remember from Whitehall cutting her face open.
And I didn't realize it was her!
Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's the same woman. No Chinese accent at all, which is weird.
Yeah. Didn't know it was her. Can we kind of sort of talk about the D line story? Like, seriously, like,
yeah, we'll just do D now.
I feel like it follows in with the A storyline. I just want to talk about it.
Okay, yeah, A D B C. All right, so let's go through D storyline. Let me scroll all the way to the bottom
because it's so far.
Yeah, it is on my notes. Yeah, so we get Cal visiting, gets visited by Gordon in solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Cal's been in there for probably like 3 or 4 days because he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we know how long it's been because of what Sky said earlier.
A week?
Yeah. But he's been gone for less than that.
Yeah.
So Cal fakes his apology to Gordon so he can go see Sky/Daisy. And he says no. Gordon, Cal tries to take down Gordon, and he teleports away, making Cal punch the ground.
Like, Gordon is very quick on the uptake with his teleports. Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm really want to know how he sees and what he sees.
Right?
Yeah.
But after that, we get the lady who agrees to take Sky on as her...
No. I just want to waste more time before we get to the title.
Oh, Jesus, because seriously? No! I want to talk about this!
Well, actually, there is one line. Sorry, no, I was going to say, well, maybe, like, and this is something, you know, we haven't really talked about before, but maybe Gordon's power, his sight, is kind of like Daredevil's, right? Like Matt Murdock, that similar concept? Yeah. Maybe that's what he's...
Which Daredevil, though? The Affleck Daredevil or the Matthew Cox Daredevil?
In my mind, they're pretty similar on the how their power works.
One's fire, really, and one's water.
They don't go into it.
They show it. That's the effect they show in both of them. One's fire and one's water.
But other than that, like, they only show that effect like what, once or twice in the Netflix one.
Yeah, I think, but one
it's
time.
It's the same concept, right? So yeah, maybe it's that. All right, I'm gonna go with water. I don't remember which one's which.
That's the Affleck one.
Perfect. Boo. I like Ben Affleck Daredevil. I mean, okay. I wouldn't say I like it, but I feel like I could watch it and I wouldn't feel like I'm wasting 2 hours of my life.
Okay, you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
I mean, I haven't watched it in a decade, I'm sure, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, but right before Gordon leaves Cal, he says, "Cal's lack of self-control has sealed your fate and the fate of your daughter." What the hell does that mean?
Right?
Yeah, that's scary. I mean,
yeah. I mean, is Gordon going to teleport her off a cliff? We don't know. Mm. I hope not. We'll see. All right, so Jiaying visits Cal.
Oh, thank
Alicia,
God.
Go ahead.
I was starting by the point that she shows up to get the inclination that she might be who I thought she was, because I obviously didn't recognize her before this. But the total confirmation, I was like, dude, you were dead. He found you dead. You got some weird regenerative powers that we don't know about. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, she's been... Even not including Whitehall cutting her open and her still somehow being alive, she's also lived 70 years past
well,
that.
Because the longevity I could get, that could be her power, where she gets to live for a very, very long time. But the literally being cut open, sliced to pieces, and then dumped in the middle of nowhere, being found dead, how do you come back from that?
I'm guessing superpowers.
Especially because... As far as I know, Cal was under the impression she was dead, which is why he wanted to get Whitehall so badly.
Yeah. And then he doesn't seem shocked to see her right now.
No.
You're right, that does not add up.
Well, no, I thought Cal knew all this time that she was alive, because the reason I say that is because, like during that conversation in the scene, he says, "Oh, I told you I would find our daughter," right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but he could have told her.
He could have promised that when he found her dead, he could have been like, "I promise you, I will find your daughter." That could be that I can see him promising to her quote unquote dead body now. I will find her daughter. Basically, I won't let anyone have her. Blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I feel like he found out maybe a decade later or.
But my problem is when he encounters Whitehall, when Skye's in Whitehall's compound with him, he basically yells about the fact that that Whitehall killed his wife.
Yeah.
My point is he at that point would still have to think that she's dead. Otherwise, why wouldn't it be like Whitehall tortured my wife?
Well, I think Whitehall did kill her. I think she probably died. Just all that stuff, but she came back, so it doesn't make complete sense. I think his revenge on Whitehall thing was more that Whitehall ruined his life. I mean, took away his daughter, separated him from his wife, because they're obviously not on good terms right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were, and Jia Ying agreed with Cal, they could have sent Gordon to pick her up at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's interesting. It doesn't make sense. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe going through that torture, like, changed her in a way. And so, in his mind, the person he knew is dead, right? It could mm-hmm. be one of those situations. Going back to how she's alive again, I kind of wonder if Cal, because he's a doctor, right? So, maybe he knows just enough about her powers that he was like, well, let me try putting her together and see what works. And then he crossed his fingers and it just happened to work out. Like that's the only other explanation I've got for that one.
It could work. Yeah. It's like, did you guys ever watch Heroes?
Yes.
I watched a season and a half of that.
Yeah. So enough. The cheerleader girl, Claire, had the healing power. And I remember specifically in one scene that she gets like a stick in the back of her head and she's dead until someone pulls it out. Maybe he just has to connect certain like nerves or something for it to make
Wolverine giant. Does that too.
Who does? Wolverine.
Wolverine? Yeah, because he gets shot in the head.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't die. He loses his memory, at least in the movies.
I mean, in the first X-Men movie. The first X-Men movie, he gets shot in the head, falls back, and then later stands back up as the bullet is being pushed out of his head.
That's X-Men 2, but yeah, you're right.
Was it X-Men 2? Oh, yeah, because he was at the house with Kitty Pryde.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
With Bobby and everyone. Yep. Anyway, but yeah, you're right. But I don't think he died. I think he got knocked out. But
it's
neither here nor there. Yeah. when I'm on X-Minutes, which, come on, guys, I wouldn't mind being on X-Minutes. I could talk about
it. Yep.
Yeah. So now we're going to what used to be labeled Storyline B is now Storyline C because we're moving everything down. All right. We're going to the real S.H.I.E.L.D. at the fake but our real S.H.I.E.L.D.'s base. Makes sense. Anyway. We get a conversation between Gonzalez and Bobby where... Gonzalez is pretty much reiterating that Coulson and Skye are dangerous and... Bobby's saying, "No, they are friendly and nice."
the words that Gonzalez was using, he had some very choice language for mm-hmm. talking about Skye and other humans. Like he called her a thing, something with powers, a freak. Those are the only three I noticed. But Bobby seemed not too happy about that choice of language, too. Like he's definitely biased in one way already.
Very much so. Oh,
definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering what happened to him. Did he get attacked by the Winter Soldier? What happened to him in the past that makes him so anti-powers?
Maybe he's dealt with other people on the Index before. That could be it.
Yeah. But we've seen people on the Index. They have razor blade fingers and they're good at computers, apparently. They're not that impressive.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
At least those ones aren't. Yeah, he's also concerned that Coulson is collecting power to people. But according to my count, he has, let's see, three,
two?
One. He has one collected in the base, and he has two that he knows and works with. I don't think that's much of a collection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we've got Fitz and Simmons talking about the toolbox, which I think you both guys had something first to say about that. So, Alicia, you want to take it first?
The toolbox. Crap, what did I want to say about that?
Al, you want to take it first?
Sure, I'm going to take us off topic. So, at some point, Fitz has a remark about what the box might hold, because they're like, yeah, we have no idea what's in this box. We need you to help us and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Fitz remarks that maybe the box holds Fury and Coulson's favorite recipes, or it could just be Fury's favorite recipes, and now Coulson has them. Like, what food recipes do you think are on that list?
Grilled cheese sandwiches. That recipe that he made for Sky a few episodes ago.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, so Coulson added. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yep.
So I spent some time looking this up. Okay. So Samuel L. Jackson, there was an interview once asking him, apparently he's very passionate about food in general. He answered once, if he had to choose his own last meal, it would be a T-bone steak with char-grilled onions, roasted carrots, and a baked sweet potato. So that can tell you everything you want to know about him. He is someone who likes sweet potatoes.
He's a meat and potatoes man. It's like, that's what I got out of that.
I think Al's judging sweet potatoes.
Yes, I am. And I found nothing about Clark Gregg on his choice of food. So it's probably what you said, Tony. It's probably the grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, possibly, the cupcakes that he bribed Weaver with to get Fitz and Simmons on his team. Because they must be really good cupcakes if you're willing to give up like two amazing scientists like that.
Right.
They say the toolbox is dangerous, but we have no evidence of that either way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Gonzalez pretty much says leaving protocols are the same. If you want to leave, you can leave. And Fitz gets up and starts leaving.
He's like, I'll pack my shit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And then Bobby makes a remark that they're loyal, they have great loyalty, but Gonzalez is concerned that they're loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D. or to Coulson, not to S.H.I.E.L.D. Which
is accurate.
It's accurate. From everyone's point of view, like, every one of these people, Coulson is S.H.I.E.L.D., not vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then we get Simmons and Bobby has a little discussion. Fitz is ready to go, but Simmons is telling him that they don't really need him to open the box because she can open it.
So
because it's a lab problem, not a tech problem.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So just before this part, Mac was talking to Fitz about this, right? So Simmons had already told Bobby.
I think that's afterwards.
Ah, oh, crap. Am I misremembering? Okay, sorry. I thought you were talking about it a little bit later. Okay, never mind.
No. She said this is when she says she'll work on it for him. But
okay, whoops, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. My thoughts at this moment, even though we get kind of a reveal later why she's doing this, but my thought at the moment was that Simmons' time at Hydra made her a little more flexible in her loyalty. She might not be, to use Al's analogy, she might be more of a gray Jedi if everybody's, apparently the Force is real in this universe. And then we get to the first of two interviews between Gonzalez and May. Alicia, you want to take this one?
There's two? Oh, yeah, the first one where She is totally not giving him anything. She just looks at him like, go ahead. You can ask me whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you shit unless I want to. And she just has this total like, yeah, whatever smirk on her face. Like the whole time, despite like she does talk to him a little bit, but she's just like, yeah, I don't care what you have to say. There's nothing you can say that's going to make me change my mind. So I just amused again, once again, by May and her refusal to back down from anyone and her loyalty for things. It just, it amuses me and makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. She refuses to play ball with Gonzalez at all. Yeah. And then, she makes a good point also. These guys are supposed to be the real Shield, but they're more concerned with taking down the other Shield than they are with taking down Hydra. Yeah, which we, at this point, we haven't seen that Hydra at all for like 2 or 3 episodes.
Yep.
So they're probably doing evil plans.
Well, as we find out the later episodes, we kind of find out what happens, what's going on with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're all still on that ship, right? Last week we were talking about.
On the lower decks of the ship.
Yep, they're still hanging out.
That's why the ship hasn't docked anywhere. It's because they have control of the rudder.
Oh, that makes sense.
It really doesn't.
No.
I mean, it works for me.
We also find out that in his hands, Gonzalez has the file on Bahrain, where we could easily find out what happened. But
sadly, we don't get to find that out because somebody's a jerk.
We do know that it involved a power person. So
yeah, that May had to put down.
I wonder
who it is. Can I make a prediction now?
Make a prediction now.
Is it her kid? She had to put down her own kid.
You could put down that prediction.
I'm going to put down that prediction. Or somebody she trained. Either her own kid or somebody she trained herself.
Okay. Her kid or someone she trained. All right. Noted. Hopefully we'll remember this.
Yes.
All right. Now Fitz talks to Sim. Fitz talks to Simmons, but I meant to say Mac. That's why you got confused. All right.
Yep.
Go ahead, Al.
All right. So the thing I meant to say earlier. So Mac is telling Fitz about Simmons, you know, suggesting the genetic markers and all that stuff to open the box. So Fitz just walks over to a computer and opens a file on all of that information.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this means, I guess, either one of two things. Either one, Fitz... his credentials still work, right? Because he had immediate access to all this stuff. So either his credentials, he can still log in and access all of this stuff. Even after he said he's leaving this Shield, and like, I'm assuming this real Shield doesn't fully trust him. Anyway, that works. Or the other option is that anyone who has physical access to that computer has access to all of the data being done in that lab, or all the work being done in that lab.
Well, I mean, after last week and seeing how well their security was at the server room, I'm going to guess it's everyone who touches the table can just get in.
Well,
as long as they have 3 years of hologram training.
We have evidence of that anyway from previous episodes when they had the stuff from, were hiding the stuff from Hydra, and we didn't know, the team didn't know Ward was part of Hydra yet, that they put it all on Sky's weird hard drive that she had to key code encrypt. They didn't do that until afterwards. So apparently security on touching the tables isn't a thing.
Yeah. Just assuming no one bad will ever get into a Shield base. We're safe. But I don't think that's true. Yeah. Fitz and Simmons kind of put on this performance about Fitz is being forced out by Simmons because Simmons is helping the real Shield. How dare you? But it's all kind of a ruse to sell this, that Fitz is leaving and not having the box at all because the box is right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I thought before that reveal, and I didn't remember at all most of this episode, mm-hmm. I thought they were really overacting that. That was pretty bad. Way worse than they usually do.
Yep.
But I'm glad it's because the characters were overacting it.
Really? I actually thought they did it well. Really? I mean, this is how bad I am at recognizing overacting things.
Yeah.
But I thought that part, like, I genuinely thought Fitz was really angry. Simmons, like, I thought, okay, she's...
I didn't, Fitz, I thought, I didn't like, think he was angry. Because we've seen him angry, yeah. angry. And there it just looked like he was just scolding her, but he wasn't really into it. Like, for me, too, like, for this being the first time I've watched the episode, I was like, something's going on here.
Yeah. No, yeah. For me, something felt off. Mm-hmm. It's not like... Well, like, we've seen Fitz angry, mm-hmm. and this wasn't the same way. Like, I don't know. He's got this temper that comes out, and I just didn't feel it. But, yeah. But we find out that... Or we don't even find out yet. So, yeah. We go to the second interview between May and Gonzalez, where Gonzalez walks in and hands her a loaded gun. We don't realize it's loaded right away.
Oh, I assumed it was.
But, yeah. I mean... if she wanted the gun, she would have taken the gun anyway. Mm-hmm. So might as well hand it to her when you walk in the room. Well,
she also gets very on edge as soon as he comes into the room with the gun. If she didn't think it was loaded, why did she become so on edge?
No, I think this is what happened. I think she saw the gun in his hand. She thought he was going to try to kill her because no way she would die from that. But he would try. Mm-hmm. And then he hands it to her. So as soon as he hands it to her or slides it to her or whatever, she thinks in her mind, oh, it must be unloaded because he would never hand that to me. Mm-hmm. And then she's wrong. Yeah.
Good thing she didn't like try to like play it up. Like, oh, obviously I know you wouldn't hand me a real gun and then shoots him. Uh-oh. Yeah. That could have ended badly.
No. May isn't that stupid to shoot even an unloaded gun.
That's true. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, but he is in there to offer her a spot on the leading council. Who's on the leading council right now? It's Gonzalez. Weaver.
Weaver. Yeah. Agent Calderon.
Calderon.
Jerk.
Calderon. Okay.
Are Bobby or Mac on that council? Or are they both on the council?
I think so, because they were the ones that were deciding the democracy originally, right?
Yeah, so
that's why I thought they were, but I don't know. It kind of seemed like in the previous episode when they brought Hunter in, it kind of mm-hmm. sounded like they were reporting to this council, like Bobby and Mac weren't part of it.
Yeah, I more got the feeling that Bobby was part of it and Mac wasn't, because Mac doesn't seem like he wants to be in charge of anyone.
Yeah, that's true. He's more the engineer, where she was the expert SHIELD agent ready to do what.
Yeah. And she was the one who had the idea of making a democracy. Mm-hmm. Because my thing was, okay, so that's what, Weaver, Calderon, Gonzalez. So they want a fifth member, because I bet they're stuck in ties all the time whenever they vote. Because with four people, mm-hmm. two on one side and two on the other. So it's like, that's the only real reason they want May there.
Just make their lives a little bit easier.
Okay. Yep. Because, you know, we all know May makes everyone's lives easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and then during this interview, wait, do we ever find out if May accepts or not?
Not really, no.
I don't know. We get the offer. Yeah, but during this interview, we get intercut with a quick flash of seeing Fitz leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and then we get our post-credit scene where Fitz leaves. I think it's post-credit scene, or maybe just the end of the episode.
No, I think it's post-credit.
Yeah, and surprising no one except for maybe Al, apparently, Fitz has a toolbox.
Yep. Fitz has toolbox, Alicia? And Fitz has sandwich. Sandwich.
Way more important.
So I totally was like, when he pulled out that sandwich and I saw the note and I was like, yes, they're not so broken. Because I know there had been tension between them in the past, and I remember all the tension and they were mad at each other. But the fact that she made him a sandwich and told him to be careful and helped him get the cube, mm-hmm. I was like, yay, makeup. Because I love them to death.
Yeah. And again, like last time, there was a sandwich. I really want to try the sandwich. Right? Prosciutto and mozzarella and just a hint of pesto aioli.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really good. Especially since it's 8:10 and I haven't had dinner yet. So that sounds really right? good.
So, right. I'm really wondering, how did Simmons get him the toolbox? Like, at what point was it switched?
He did a sleight of hand.
Well...
When he...
I thought
because Simmons gave him the bag, and he also said he said something like "Thank you, Simmons" when he opened the bag and saw it in there. Mm-hmm. Also,
well, no, he said that line... after. He said that after he pulled the box out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, so he knew.
Yeah, when he was packing right before Mac came up, he opened the bag and looked inside, and then later when he's giving that speech of. Like how stupid secrets are, he says to her, "It's like you packed your bag, my bags yourself." I think Simmons put it in there earlier, and he just discovered it and used that.
Maybe I thought he did a cute little sleight of hand thing, or maybe maybe it happened. The switch happened way before they had their confrontation, because
that's what I'm saying. I think she switched it, and he didn't go into all this stuff until he looked in the bag and saw it.
I think he knew she switched it though, because when he pulled up the hologram on the table, he goes, "Well, why would she be doing?" And then he realizes that it's not the right one.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. That one works for me, because especially when Fitz like goes and picks up the what I guess we're now assuming was the fake toolbox, that one. Shield guy like pulls a gun on him immediately, so like, it has to have been Simmons who did that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at that because I thought maybe it was a sleight of hand trick, and I rewatched it a few times, and it makes more sense because eyes are trained on that box. Mm-hmm. That would be really risky if you're not amazing at sleight of hand. Which, if Fitz was established as being good at sleight of hand, I would believe it, but that's not something they've said before. Right. Yeah. All right. You guys ready to go on to our fourth and final storyline?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Al seemed a lot less
enthusiastic,
confident, but no, it's a confidence. Yeah. Anyway. All right. We're going to Coulson and Hunter. And we start off with Coulson going to buy a used car, and he gains another superpowered person.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this guy walks up to him, and he's like, "Hey, I have a genuine superpower." And he goes on explaining all this stuff. He is 100% spot on. Now, Coulson at the end basically tells him that he was wrong, but I think Coulson just didn't want to admit. I think the car salesman was 100% right. So he says that, one, Coulson has played it safe his whole life. Well, that's kind of true. I mean, if Coulson didn't play it safe, he would be dead right now, given the way he does things. Mm-hmm. He also says that Coulson feels like he's stuck in a rut. I mean, Coulson is saving S.H.I.E.L.D. again, so it's kind of stuck in that whole thing. Car salesman says that Coulson's life has lost its thrill. Like, well, you know, after coming back to life, fighting with and against Asgardians, etc., etc., everything else is probably a lot less thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
Car salesman says that the kids are monsters. Well, I mean, kinda. I mean, Sky is a little uncontrollable right now.
Ward was one of his people. He considered one of his kids.
That's true. Yeah, that works too. Two more. this car salesman says that Coulson's wife has taken to Moomoo's. While that hasn't happened, I mean, the closest thing that we have to a wife for Coulson would be May, and I feel like if she were allowed to, if it were part of the uniform, she would wear muumuus because there's probably more flexibility in that than her current
uniform.
You'd
be wrong.
I disagree.
And finally, the car salesman says that Coulson is thinking it's time to let the tiger loose. And it's kind of true, right? Because Coulson wants to attack this real shield and take things back and save his people. So yeah, okay. I'm going with 100% right. Genuine
100%. Mm-hmm. I would give you 80 at most, because that muumuu thing is not panning out.
Yeah, that was really hard to force something out of that. I got nothing.
Like, it depends on how short it is, but if it's a regular 2 ankle length, I'm sorry, any dress, skirt, or otherwise that is ankle length that isn't pants, you run into all sorts of issues right off the bat. At least I do, and
yeah.
I don't know.
When Alicia's doing her super spy stuff.
Well, that one episode that I saw of The Simpsons, Homer seemed to have some pretty.
That's where my mind went to.
I have not seen that, but I'm going to go with it's probably wrong.
That's where, like, what, season one or two?
It's really. Oh no, it's not one or two. It's early, but it's going to be later. Okay. That's where I learned what a muumuu is, and so that's why
that's where my mind goes when I think muumuus. But I was also thinking with Alicia's part. I was thinking an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when not to do with muumuus, but she had a. Like an ankle-length skirt, and then vampires showed up, so she had to fight them. So she had to tear her skirt to do her fighting. So yeah, I don't think a muumuu would work well for May. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But unfortunately for Honest Eddie, Hunter steals his car, and Coulson ices him. So, I don't think... Either Coulson's not a very good communicator, or Hunter's not a very good listener, or both. Because they should have discussed this beforehand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Hunter kind of brought up that their assets were frozen. Did Real mm-hmm. Shield do this?
I'm sure they did.
Do they have that power? Do they have that access to do whatever it is?
Well, I mean, they've got access. I think they've got access to everything in the base except for the toolbox.
Yeah.
Since they took over. So. And they've got access to the computers, and you know they probably saved all their bank passwords. So you shouldn't do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you should use a password manager for your passwords. Just throwing that out there as security advice. But
no, right, you use the same password for everything, so you don't remember it. You don't forget anything. I think that's the right way to do it.
Oh, okay. You're right. I forget.
Yep. All right, so Lance and Phil go to the cabin and the stolen I didn't write down what kind of car, the Jeep or whatever.
It's a Jeep of some form.
Yeah, and they find the wreckage of Skye's defensive maneuver because it wasn't an attack. And they find this conveniently not destroyed camera. Right? Although it is ripped off and on the ground.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So they make it sound like they're grabbing the video directly from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
But in the next scene, they don't actually show the camera on the desk. So they kind of make it sound like it's coming from there. But I think they were just pointing at it like, oh, yeah, that's right. We had cameras here. Let's go look at the camera data over here.
Well, yeah, it makes sense because my next note was when they're watching the camera or watching it, they see the quake and see the teleportation. They don't see the moment the camera gets destroyed, right? Which would have been in the quake. So it makes sense that they're not watching that specific camera. Yeah. And then Phil's sad because he thinks he lost Skye.
He lost his baby
and
girl.
He lost Skye and lost Shield in the same day. He can handle it when he just has a shield. He's done that mm-hmm. before.
That's old hat by now.
Yeah. But it hasn't lost Skye yet. Except for when she got shot. And then when she's probably been lost a few times, actually. And never mind. All right. So next we have a quick scene of Hunter and Coulson having a drink. and Coulson defends Mac and Bobby as good agents, and Lance is not agreeing with him. And then Lance's plan is to run away to Mexico, because I feel like that's his standard plan for every time he screws up.
Probably accurate.
Yeah, how many times do you think he's done that by now?
Well, how many times has he been with Bobby?
At least twice.
That's a good point.
Probably that many times.
Okay, all right. It seems to work out for him pretty decently, I guess, so okay.
Yeah. He needs to go somewhere further from America so he doesn't keep coming back to Bobby.
Like Bolivia.
Yeah. Or anywhere the Hulk's been. It's hard to find him there. Brazil.
Yeah.
All right. So we get the next morning, and Hunter wakes up to find out that Coulson has called the real Shield in.
And they have a battering ram.
He did it.
Yeah. It looks like the same battering ram that broke into Fury's truck in Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice reuse of stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, he called him in on purpose so they could get a Quinjet to get back to the base, apparently. Or maybe not get it back to the base, but to get a Quinjet. Yeah, and Coulson wants them to have icers only and not to worry because he's got a reinforcement coming in. Which, you know, that totally calms down right. Hunter. He's fine with that.
Well, is this the point where he says a reinforcement, or because he said reinforcements?
Yeah, right? He says reinforcements, and then later he says it's like one guy.
Okay,
I think they're still inside the thing. So,
oh, all right,
yeah. He's like, he calls it that's not reinforcements, that's a gravedigger. Yeah. So it's pretty obvious. Bobby and Gonzalez, switching back to them for like 10 mm-hmm. seconds, they know that Coulson called them on purpose, but they don't know why they would do that. And I have the notes right here about Fitz and Mac. So I put that on the spot. That's why I didn't see it earlier. Okay. Yeah. But eventually, Real Shield gets into the cabin and they see two guys playing cards and shushing them. Because Trip and Fitz had made Coulson a 21st century Howling Commandos box. I don't know. Suitcase. Something. Yeah. With little portable holographic cards. Not like Pokemon cards. But different type of holographic cards. Yeah, so Alicia, did I just talk right over what you want to talk about?
Probably, okay. Maybe. I don't know. What was I want to talk about? The Coulson's... Oh, no. I did. I totally talked about it already. I had the battering ram and the,
okay,
the breaking
so,
into the cab.
Sure.
It's like, okay, I totally expected the stupid shit Coulson pulls because it's Coulson. But the battering ram was something mm-hmm. completely new. And the door gets a percent, but it doesn't look like it's super damaged at all and then just falls in. I was like, if it was going to do that, shouldn't it have just done that from the start? I had a little issue with that, but that's it.
Well, it's video game rules, right? So, you know, you lose 99 out of your 100 life, and then once you lose that last one, it's then you're dead.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
So he, yeah, Hunter and Coulson comes out from the sideway, the hallway, and ices all those people and take their clothes, Luke Skywalker and Han Solo style. And they are tricked by the hidden Quinjet. They are instantly surrounded and
right?
screwed over. Which
so the thing they did was used against them.
Yep, pretty much. Didn't they do that to Talbot a while ago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Also, it's pretty obvious to me, and maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe it's not this, but it looks like they have a camera on the top of their helmets. These tactical outfits. So, wouldn't someone, maybe at the Shield base or in the Quinjet, see them take out the real SHIELD infantry and put on their outfits.
Maybe. That might be why they decided to have one of them hidden.
Yeah. So yeah, they're instantly caught and put on the Quinjet. And as soon as they're closing the door and trying to leave, the door stops working. And we get the reveal of Deathlock. Who actually, I think a few weeks ago, Alicia was asking about.
I was like, where did he go? Well, now we know.
Yeah. Yep. We get Deathlock takes out four guys and a Quinjet all by himself, while Hunter and Coulson take out one each. So we know who the badass is. And
you know, I really wish that he stuck around some more, you know, Deathlock. Like, I know the actor went off and he like was doing other shows, but he's not really doing much now. I kind of want him to come back to SHIELD.
Yeah. He pops up here and there, but
yeah.
I think it's more the CGI budget when he uses a missile. It's a bigger problem.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah, so, apparently Coulson did not tell Hunter about Deathlock just so he could see his reaction when Deathlock shows up, which is fair.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah. And we get a cool look at his new upgrades where, what's his real name? I'll just keep calling him Deathlock.
Mike Peterson.
Yeah. Mike gets this cool new upgrade where he can just look at the screen for the Quinjet and know how to fly it. So he's pretty much in the Matrix now. So yeah.
That is awesome.
And then, And then they go to a cruising altitude and we find out that Deathlock has been following Litzt in Europe.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a Hydra agent still left alive. To be fair, and I don't even remember who Litzt is, so I'm a little skeptical about those. Like, what the?
Well,
who, what, when, where, how?
He is. We've seen him before in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and at the end of Winter Soldier. He is a partner to Baron von Strucker, who he was testing on enhanced people. He's one of the two people who creates Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. It'll make sense that he's still around because we haven't hit Ultron yet. So, but that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. My problem is almost immediately after that, Coulson goes, well, now we got to go find Ward. They are going to go find Ward because that's going to go great. Because he wants to find the superpower people. And the only way they could do it is to find Ward. And I'm like, okay, well, you know how I was wondering about where certain people went? Apparently we're just going to drive them all back together in one shot. Ta-da! Here you go!
We're going to find everyone.
I was like, God damn it. And, you know, can I call it corner now?
Sure.
My call it corner is that Ward's not going to want to help him until Coulson tells him that they got to find Sky because the people took Sky.
Maybe. I actually don't remember why. I know. I don't know. I don't want to spoil it. But I don't remember this interaction of how it goes down. Although he does have a new girlfriend who has changed her faces. So maybe not. Girlfriend, brainwashed woman, whatever. You know, potato, potato. It doesn't matter when you're evil. Yeah, and that's about the end of the episode. Is there anything else we forgot to cover you guys want to talk about?
Nope.
No?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
All right,
cool. All right, everyone. Listen to us next week when we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 17, Melinda.
And as always, please remember to follow us on Twitter at @MCU_Rewind. And please give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, assuming you like this. Otherwise, apparently, we're going to go find Ward. He will take you out. Or we have a Reyna, Spaggy Spaggy Reyna. Either way. All right. this was the Marvel Cinematic Rewind for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 16, Afterlife. Signing off.
Have a marvelous day.